Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it's been just being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and just teaching on little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. Tonight, I'm going to be teaching on a Bible character that you might very well know, but I don't think you know what you need to know about him. And so I think it's going to be a help to you tonight to learn a little bit more about the Apostle John. And so Matthew chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here, starting in verse 17 and reading down to verse 22. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for what we've already received tonight, just being assembled together in this place. And I just pray, God, that now as we open up the precious word that you've preserved for us and we study this Bible character named John, one that you called to be one of your apostles, I pray, God, that we would receive the insight that you would have us to receive from this Bible character and be able to make applications to our own life as well. Work in our midst tonight and bless the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the Apostle John, what is it that you know about him? And most of you would be familiar with the name John. And some might get confused with John the Baptist and the Apostle John, two totally different individuals, both named John. But we find that John the Apostle was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him and to become one of the 12 apostles that he would choose. Out of all the disciples, all the men that he had to choose from, he chose 12. And there were reasons for each one, each choice. And there are things that we can learn from each of the choices that Jesus Christ made to be apostles, because he was going to elevate them when he would leave. They would actually have the very words of God, and they would be known to have the words of God. And until the scriptures were complete and they were written down, then the apostles, what they would say would be scripture. And they would carry on after Jesus Christ would be resurrected and he would ascend into heaven. They would carry on and they would actually live through the apostolic age, was a transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So they were very, very. It was a very critical time. And so these after Judas had been revealed, then the 11 apostles, and then I believe the 12th at that time would have been Paul, who called himself an apostle. And the 12 of them would be very instrumental in leading the church through the apostolic age. Now, once the last of the apostle died, the apostolic age came to an end. And at the death of the last apostle, we had the completion of the written down word of God. And so that's the New Testament that we have today, that was completed during the apostolic age. And we have had it ever since. And so some 2,000 years, we've had the completion of the very words of God, the revelation that God has for man, found in this New Testament Bible. Amen. Well, John, being one of the 12 apostles that Jesus called, would have been one that was used by God to write several books of the Bible. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a few minutes here. But he wrote several books of the Bible. But the thing that you might not know about John that we need to understand about John is that he was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he would have been the youngest of the 12 apostles. He would have been the youngest. And here we find in Matthew chapter 4 the conversion, and Jesus now is establishing his public ministry, and he's calling the apostles, those that he would turn things over to during the apostolic age. And we find here concerning John that if you look in verse 22 with me, verse 21, verse 22, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And his ship was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, they were very successful fishermen, no doubt, and he called them as they were there mending their nets with their father. And they immediately, so we know that God had been working in their hearts and their minds. They knew that there was something that God would have them to do outside of just being fishermen. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. So the son of Zebedee, John would have been the son of Zebedee. He would have been the younger brother of James, who would also be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be fishermen. And there's something about actually the trade of fishing that was used to prepare several of the apostles. And so they were fishermen. And he was used by God to write the Gospel of John, which reveals the very life of Jesus Christ, the four most important books of the entire Bible that a Christian needs to read and reread and learn from is the Gospels. Because they're the first four books of the New Testament, and they help you to understand what Jesus Christ was like and who he is. And so that's why they're called the Gospels. And we find that they will write and they will actually present to you the very life of Jesus Christ. And each one seeing it from a little different view, but each one being directed by the Holy Spirit of God to write exactly what God wanted them to write, because it was not their word that they was writing down, it was the very words of God. But they were being inspired to write as God would tell them to write. That's important to understand that. When Matthew wrote, it wasn't just Matthew, but God was using what Matthew experienced in knowing Jesus Christ. He was using that for Matthew to write what God, exactly every word that God wanted Matthew to write. And the same with Mark, and the same with Luke, and the very same with John. But not only would John write the Gospel of John would also write toward the end of his ministry the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Which when you read the book of John, then you can better understand the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then, not only did he write those four books, but he wrote one last book, which is the very last book of the Bible, and that's the book of Revelation. So John actually wrote five of the New Testament books of the Bible. But the thing about John, he was allowed to refer to himself, and it's only referred to him as the disciple whom Jesus loved, in the book that he was allowed to write. He refers to himself in the book of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I don't know, if you've come from a larger family, there are some times that the siblings will get an argument as far as who mom likes the most or who dad favors the most. Amen? I mean, larger families, you have that kind of sibling rivalry. Mom likes me more than she likes you. Well, that's all right. Dad likes me more than he likes you. And then they'll run to mom and dad and say, who do you like the most? And the typical answer, whether they really believe it or not, is, oh, we love you all the same. But we do know that parents have their favorites. Amen? That's just the way it is, and children have to just have to accept it. And whether you're the favorite or not, just accept that it does happen. But the standard answer is, no, we love you all the same. And you know better, but that's what they're going to tell you. And, of course, there's always something special about the last, the youngest boy. You've heard me say that a lot. Mom always used to refer to me as her little boy, her youngest boy. And I would never outgrow that because I was the youngest of seven boys. And Dad always somewhat referred to Penny being the youngest of the girls, and it was his favorite because she was the last of the girls. And whatever it was, I don't know if they finally realized after 13 it's over, you know. And and so they said, hallelujah, this is the last one. And so they would have some kind of connection to the last boy and the last girl, whatever it might be. But John was the youngest of the apostles, but he would refer to himself. Now, he couldn't have done that outside the Holy Spirit of God led him to do that. Look, if you will, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, because this helps us to understand what God would have us to learn from the life of the Apostle John. John chapter 13. Verse 21. Now this is John being led by the Spirit of God to write the very words of God concerning the life of Jesus Christ. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on the other, doubting of whom he spake. They didn't know who was the traitor. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. And who Simon Peter is beckoned to, who he's referring to, was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Look over to chapter 20 with me. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. To help you to see that John would have been the disciple, referred to the one as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to the Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Again, this is referring to John, and John is actually writing this, but he is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Pretty fast on his feet, amen? And came first to the sepulchre. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. In these places in the scripture, he's referring to himself. And there's a reason I believe that God allowed him to do that. We're going to study that tonight. John chapter 21, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Who was on his supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Even if you think that God loves somebody else more than you, don't be caught up in that. Amen. Do what God's called you to do. Amen. Well, those are the verses that we have that John was able to write. But why did God allow him to use this emphasis? Why was it? This is the written down, preserved word of God. It's for us to read and study and learn from every word that's written down. The Bible, every word of the scriptures is inspired by God. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so why would God choose one of the disciples to be able to write the book, one of the four gospels, and to refer to himself? God wanted us to understand that he allowed him to refer to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. There has to be something about John that stands out. And I believe there is. Now look, if you will, at Mark in chapter 3. Let's understand some of the biblical truths about John. Mark in chapter 3, verse 13. Mark's going to write a little bit and give us a little more insight into who John is. And he goeth up into a mountain, calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter. So Simon is better known as today as Peter. Jesus says, you're going to be that rock. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges. What is that? Which is the sons of thunder. So Jesus, when he called the two boys, he understood that both of them would be described and better known to the other apostles as the sons of thunder. Now, that would be something that you would give somebody that possibly had a quick temper, just apt to go off at any time and thunder, lightning, bring a storm about. The sons of thunder. Now, Peter was the rock. There's no doubt about that. Petra was a smaller rock. And so he wanted Simon to be named Peter. And I want you to understand this is the name that Jesus has given him. And John, he says, he's a son of thunder. Now, when you read the book of John, especially when you read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that's not how you would describe the writer of that book. But when he first called him, he possibly would have had a temper. Possibly did not have much self-control. Would have been more apt to go off on somebody that had said something negative to them. Matter of fact, I think that's exactly what he did. Luke chapter 9. Look what Luke says about him. Luke chapter 9. Now, all this was inspired by God, but God wants us to understand this. Luke chapter 9. Verse 51. It came to pass, verse 51, Luke chapter 9. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village and the Samaritans to make ready for him. The Samaritans, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They knew that he was going through Samaria to go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, without that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did. That's something a son of thunder would say. That's something that somebody that had very little mercy, don't have any patience with these individuals. If they're going to treat you that way, if they're going to say something like that, let's just wipe them out. Let's call down fire and just consume them. Burn them up. You know anybody like that? Doesn't have much patience, doesn't have any room for mercy, apt to just go off at any moment, not much control of their temper. I think the Bible's telling us that was John. That was John. Mark chapter 10. Mark even tells us something about John. Some more about John. Mark chapter 10. I want you to get the picture that the Bible's given us about John, the Apostle John. So far, I don't see what there is to love, especially by the Lord Jesus Christ. John, Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand, on the other on the left hand in thy glory. We want a position. We want to be above the rest of the apostles. We want them to take commandments from us. This is John. Quote, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But Jesus saith unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Do you realize I'm getting ready to go be crucified on the cross? Are you willing to follow me to do just that? And they said unto him, We can. Because they did not know as of yet he was going to the cross. They thought that he was going to establish world dominance, bring Israel back to world dominance, and establish a kingdom that they would rule and reign in. They were still confused about the New Testament church age and the millennial reign of Christ, Old Testament. They were confused about that. So they thought that Jesus came to bring in the millennial reign and we're going to reign with him and we want to have the power to have everybody do what we tell them to do. And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus saith unto them, You shall indeed. For he knew exactly what would take place. And they would suffer for him. You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, there began to be much displeased with James and John. Well, that's what the Bible says about him. That's what the Bible's helping us to see, the type of person that John was outwardly. And some of the things that were motivating him in the beginning. So John would have been someone that had a quick temper. Somebody that was somewhat undisciplined. Hard-hearted, no mercy, no grace. And looking here, very selfish, putting himself above the other apostles, the other disciples, thinking that he was more than what he should have thought of himself. The two of them, brothers, deserved to sit on the right and the left hand of Christ in the millennial reign. Well, again, I ask you, what is there for Jesus to love? Why would the Holy Spirit of God direct him to write and refer to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved? John chapter 13. John changed. John changed. Everything that they said about John was due to a sin nature that every one of the apostles would have. And likewise, the very same sin nature that every one of us have. And if yielded to the sin nature, we could all be very self-centered. If yielded to the sin nature, we could all be puffed up with pride. If yielded to this very sin nature, we would think that we deserve above others whatever we wanted, whatever we desired. If we yield to the sin nature, you will not love as God would have you to love. You will not be willing to forgive as God would have you to be willing to forgive. There would be no grace. There would be no mercy. But John changed. John chapter 13, verse 21, he writes this about himself again. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Now this is John's account of what took place. Then the disciples looked one on the other, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. Now we find John leaning on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. As John followed Christ, his desire grew to get closer and closer to Jesus. And in order for him to get closer and closer to Jesus, to be able to lay his head on his chest, he would have to be more Christ-like. And the desire to get closer to Jesus Christ motivated him to start changing himself into the image of his Savior. He started looking to Jesus and how he noticed and he allowed Jesus to influence him on his self-control, on his love, on his forgiveness, on him putting others before himself, his selfless lifestyle and desiring to be a blessing to others. It was noticed by the other apostles. When the other apostles was wondering who it was that he was talking about, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to John. Even Simon Peter did not have the boldness to ask him. The one that they had seen becoming more Christ-like and would possibly be able to get the answer that they wanted from Jesus was the one who had become more and more like Christ, and they all seen it and they said, "Ask John to ask Jesus which one it is." Ask John, because he's walking closer to him than the rest of us. What a change. What a change from what Mark wrote about it. What a change from what Luke wrote about it. What a change from what the Bible said about his disposition. About the person who he was. Jesus saw through that and knew what he could become. And knowing what he could become, he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. If you don't like who you are, you can change. Amen. We have the example of John. And we see some of the things that he was before he got saved. And Jesus knew that within his heart, if he would just yield to the nature that God would give him, he had the heart to be exactly what God wanted him to be. He just needed to be able to turn away from the sin nature. He was more apt before Christ to yield to the sin nature. But because he wanted to draw as close to Jesus as possible, he knew in order for him to draw closer and closer to the Lord, he would have to become more and more like him. And he changed. You see yourself as being somebody that's selfish? Every human being could be very selfish. We all have the very same sin nature. Some just give in to it more than others. You see yourself as being too selfish? Change. Become more like Christ. You think yourself to be better than somebody else? That's a sin nature. You don't like that about yourself? You shouldn't. Change. We have one of the apostles named John that the Bible gives us clear understanding of who he was and what he became to be able to be used in the fullness that God wanted to use him, and he would have to change from being the son of thunder, from being have an uncontrolled temper, having no mercy and no grace, wanted to call fire down from heaven and destroy anybody that would cross them. He became the one that the other apostles looked to, who could get something from Christ before they could. Wow. He would write 1 John. Look at 1 John with me. We're getting ready to close here, so follow. Just going to a couple more thoughts here on what he writes. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3, the Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." You want to get closer to the Lord? You want to really have a personal walk with him? Keep his commandments. When John would hear Jesus give commandments, then he would change and start yielding himself to the commandments of God. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eye." He's saying it's something that God has wanted us to do all along, love your neighbor. But after Christ came, it has new meaning. We love others as Christ has loved us. That's the new commandment. We have an example of how we are to love our neighbor. And that example is in looking at the life of Jesus Christ. John learned that. And as he learned that, He was being prepared to write the Holy Scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceiveth we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Before he followed Christ, he would not have had those thoughts. He learned that from following Christ. And became who he was. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the books of the Bible that John wrote, because he followed Christ and was prepared to write some of the most important books in the Bible concerning loving one another. In closing, look at the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. As he surrendered his life to Christ, he became more Christ-like. And because he became more Christ-like, God wanted us to understand why he was referred to as a disciple whom Jesus loved. Because he became the servant of Christ. Revelation chapter 1, the very last book of the Bible, God allowed John to write it. And this is what it says at the beginning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John. John developed a servant's heart. John developed a servant's attitude. John developed a life in Christ. And if you want to be referred to, if you want to see yourself as a Christian that God loves, go and do likewise. If your attitude is not the attitude of Christ, change it. Amen. If your disposition is not the disposition of Christ, change it. Amen. Amen. If your love for others is not the same as the love that God has for others, change it. Listen to me, if John was able to change what the Bible says about him beforehand, listen to me, God wants us, and he allowed him to be referred to in that way so that we might learn from John that we can change. Yeah. And we can become more Christ-like. Yeah. And when you become more Christ-like, you become a servant of Jesus Christ, you can know that you're a servant. What a lesson that can be learned from John. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The apostle whom Jesus loved. I want to see myself as a man whom Jesus loves. I want to refer to myself and know in my heart that God loves me. And you can know that beyond the shadow of a doubt when you conform to the image of Jesus Christ. you become a servant of His. Praise the Lord. For the Bible character of the Apostle John. Father, we love you. Bow before you now. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for what we've received and being in this place. As we've looked into the life of this apostle that you have given us insight into, help us to take from this something that would help us to be determined to be conformed to the image of our Savior. Help us to change the things in our lives that are not Christ-like. And help us to be as Christ-like as we can be in every area of our lives. Bless in this invitation right now. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.